Well, if that blessed your soul, say amen. Amen. Hey, if you like that, there's more to come at the camp. Come and visit us at the north part of the town, all right? We had a great week at camp. We started last week with our first community initiative program for the junior age kids, and we had 40 come out, which really exceeded our expectations, and 18 kids got saved last week. That's amazing. That's amazing. And we're so excited that God gave us a good start. We saw a lot of fruit with this program that our church has a direct interest in, by the way. And then you'll be praying for the teen camp that's at the end of the summer for the town. I believe God's going to do some great things through that. But be praying next week, junior camp for us. And so, parents, as you're sitting your kiddos out, I'm praying with you that they'll have a fantastic time. Adrian Bergen will be with us, and of course, he'll be preaching this next Sunday. Adrian's a good friend, been at the camp numerous times, does a great job, very animated. And so if you want to come and attend one of the services, just call Emily at the office. She'll tell you what the time is. It does vary day to day, so you might want to just double check. But we'd love for you to come and be a part of our services and just enjoy what's happening at the camp. Hey, there's some good things happening. I'm glad to tell you that this is one of the best summers that I think we'll ever have. And I can't wait to finish it. We got a great staff. They look good, they smell nice, and they sing good. So that's always a plus. And we're helping those that are straggling a little bit behind in that area. But this is a great team, probably the best summer staff I've had since I've been here in 7 years. So, and we're going 7 strong, right? And so anyway, that's all I have to say. Anybody have any questions about camp? All right, let's go to the Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 4 is where I want to speak tonight. Now, I have a confession. I'm a little under the weather. I got sick with some type of infection. So I might not be as animated as you might be used to seeing me. And what I mean by that is instead of 100%, I might be like 90. So I still may, I may not hold back, okay? But just bear with me. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Are you alive? Are you guys there? Amen? Okay, just want to double check. You're looking, you're just staring at me. Now, pastor can handle that. I can't. I got to have engagement. If you're just staring, I'm going to come harder at you, okay? So be alive. All right, so why don't we just stand as we read this together, just so I know that you're alert, alive, and enthusiastic. Very good. Everybody smile. Everybody smile. Are we happy? Are you glad to be at church? Would you rather be in jail? I didn't think so. By the way, Simon came up to me and said, would you be brief tonight? I'm not big into preaching. So, Pastor Nate, you might need to do some work this week. I just thought I'd point out that error in his life. Yeah, he could take an offering, but he can't handle preaching. So, all right, verse number 1. Are you ready? Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take him, my 2 sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? She said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Listen, borrow not a few, meaning go get as many as you can. Don't hold back. When thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Now, if you would, I want you to see the last 3 words of verse number 5. It says, and she poured out. So let's say it together. Are you ready? And she poured out. One more time. And she poured out. That's the title of my message. Pour out your oil into others. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the good music and the time where we can come into your house and worship. I pray that you would help us to zone in on this passage, Lord. Give us illumination about what it means for us to be pouring out our oil into other people. And I pray that if there's someone here that's not saved, that today would be the day of salvation. But for all of us that are believers, help us to be encouraged and committed to pour out that which is good in our lives into other people. And we'll see our faith expand and grow beyond what we could ever imagine. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in all things, in whose name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. It's important for me to explain what the oil is before I can continue, because some context is important. So I don't want you to miss the picture, because you could really run away with the passage and take it way out of context. And I don't want to do that. So here's what you need to understand of what the oil is. I believe it could represent and picture two specific things. Number one, I believe the oil could represent God himself, the Holy Spirit to be specific. In parts of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the oil and the incense that would to be burning inside the temple was always a picture of the passion and the power of God inside the temple. In fact, the Levites, as if you were here a couple of weeks ago when I spoke on taking up the trash in the temple, one of their main jobs was to never let the oil go out, to never let the fire diminish. And so I believe that the oil could represent God and the Holy Spirit, and we should be pouring out into others what we have. And if you're a believer, you have God. Now, number two, I think it could also represent this. I think it could be a picture of your faith. And your faith is what is the oil. It's the engine of your relationship with God. And what the world needs now is to be people living out their faith before lost people. And so you ought to shine your light before men so that they can glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Hey, we need to be pouring out the oil, the good things that are in our lives. It should be God. Hey, it's our faith. And many people need oil. They need our faith. They need our God. And so the question comes, when should you be pouring out your oil? Well, the first point that I want you to see is you should be doing this at pivotal moments in your life. And it could be that if you're going through a critical, crucial time in your life, that could be just the very moment that God's talking to you and inviting you to pour out all the good things in your life, because he could be showing you something that you've never seen before. It could be he wants to reveal himself in ways that you've never experienced by pouring out the oil in your life. And it comes at pivotal moments. What were the pivotal moments for this widow? Well, I want you to see, first of all, she was facing a dilemma. A dilemma. And what I mean by a dilemma is that this lady was at a disadvantage. You know, in society today, there's a big push for, you know, women and equality, and there's this feminism movement, and we really don't understand in American culture what it means for a woman to be at a disadvantage. If you were living in the Bible times, in those days, a woman really was at a disadvantage in society if she wasn't married to a man, because your identity was tied to your husband. And if he died, you didn't have the access, you didn't have the ability to go get this job. And so this lady was at a real disadvantage, and she's facing a dilemma to pay off this debt that was left to her by her husband. And so here she's in a dilemma. And you know, when I think about the crucial, critical times that we face some part along the way in life, it sometimes happens when you're facing dilemmas. And it could be that God's saying, hey, don't worry about that. Pour out your oil. It comes at facing a dilemma. I see that pivotal moments could also be described when you fail to meet a demand. And specifically for this woman, she failed to meet a debt. And for some reason, we don't know why, we're not explained, but apparently her husband had racked up some enormous amount of debt. And this should be a reminder that it's especially as believers, but in general, it's good not to get deep into debt. Because if you get too far into it, it's going to bite you. You know, one of the worst decisions that I think my parents ever let me make on my own was to buy a car that was a lemon. Because my dad was trying to convince me to buy a Dodge, you know, that looked like it belonged to someone that was of a higher age bracket, if I could say, than what my age bracket was. So I didn't see what he saw, which was a probably a decent car, low mileage, low payments. I saw the Cougar. I saw a Mercury Cougar, a 99 green Mercury Cougar, had a spoiler on the back, and I couldn't see what he saw. I saw everything that I wanted. I wanted the Cougar, and I had barely any money to put down. I think I put down $600, made some astronomical amount of monthly payments, and the car was a lemon. By the way, if you've ever owned a Cougar, it's a horrible car. It treated me so bad. In fact, there's some people here. Craig, you remember this? When I did an intern, I interned at their church in Austin, at my uncle's church. Remember I had that car? Do you remember that car? It was a horrible car. Remember Gary had to fix it 3 times for me? Oh. Yeah, it was a bad car. Yeah, I had an alternator problem when I was in Austin. So Gary, who was like the maintenance man, he worked on it for 3 days. And he was good with cars, right? But he took him 3 days to work on mine. You know, I don't know who made it. Is it Mercury? Who is that? Who makes that? Four. That tells you everything, right? They didn't put the alternator where normal people would put it, like near the top. They put it all the way down in the bottom. And we had to reach down there. It was a horrible car. So when I was moving up to Michigan, I had a water pump go out on the car. And so I was trying to figure out how could I pay to fix it, and I couldn't. It was worth more to get rid of it than to keep the car. And so I went to CarMax and said, hey, would you like this nice car? It's a Cougar. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll help you out. I think it's only worth about $800. And I think I had to pay off, $400 to them for them to take off the rest of the car. That's how bad that car was. Hey, debt's horrible. You know, you got to watch it. Now, let's be fair. Let's be fair to this man of God who did fear the Lord. So we should assume he wasn't just making dumb decisions with his money. In reality, in the context of this day, the prophets of God were under persecution. Hey, persecution had forced some of these individuals to probably put their money into places that they never wanted to do that would never bring an appreciation. And so now what happens? That he dies in this great, enormous amount of debt fell to this woman, and she could not meet that demand. It seems that the creditor, he was a bad character. He was demanding 2 sons from this widow. Oh, he was a mean guy. God had provided outlets for people in the law. If you had this debt issue and you needed to use your family to be like servants or slaves, you know, after 7 years, whoever had the creditor, they were to send the family back. This guy was demanding both of her sons. And then she'd have nothing left. Then what would she do? You know, when you face pivotal moments in your lives, it comes when you're facing dilemmas. You know, what am I supposed to do? It sometimes comes when you can't meet a demand that's in your life. As you see, thirdly, sometimes pivotal moments involve, it's a personal thing when you feel deficient. Here, Elisha asks the question, well, what do you have in your house? And she says, all I got is oil. That's all I have. I mean, I'm so limited. There's nothing that's of value to pay off this debt that I have. I mean, she had nowhere to turn. She had nowhere to go. She didn't know who to trust. She didn't know who to follow. The only person that she knew to go was the prophet of Elisha. You know, I'm deficient. I failed to meet this standard. And in many ways, you should all be able to relate to this woman, because you've all fallen short of the glory of God. No one in this room, no one in this world has ever made that perfect standard other than Jesus Christ. You all feel deficient at sometimes in your life. And here in this moment, she felt deficient. She didn't know what to do. These are pivotal moments that we face at times in life, do we not? So what do you do? Why would God want me to pour out my oil when I can't? Well, I want you to see what she did have. I want you to see what you have, friends. Because if you're facing some critical junctures in your life, you need to know that you have an outlet. And it's this. Point number 2, you have a powerful mediator. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is our one mediator between God and man. He is the greatest attorney that we've ever had. And I want you to see that this prophet became a mediator. She went to the one guy who knew how to access the power of God in her life. And Elisha was that mediator. And you don't have a man here today. You have the God-man. His name is Jesus. He's the best mediator you could ever dream of. Oh, he's wonderful. You know why? Because what the prophet became to her is what Jesus is to us. He is our ultimate recourse. Our ultimate recourse. Recourse is the idea of access. And because Jesus is the access to the throne room of God, you have a direct line to the throne room. You have a direct line to the power of God because of Jesus. Hey, Jesus said, No man comes to the Father but by me. That's an exclusive, authoritative claim. There is no other way. There's not another religion. There's not so many good works that you can do to get into the throne room of God. It only comes through Jesus. He's the ultimate recourse. He is our access. Hey, what Jesus is as a mediator in this recourse is he's accessible. All right, you can go to him at any time. Hey, when you dial in prayer to God, there's no answering machine. There's no secretary that's going to say, well, he'll get back to you later in the day or tomorrow. Let's set up an appointment. You always are accessible to God because of Jesus. Hey, the recourse was accessible. She had the attention of the prophet, and that's what you have. You have God's attention. He says he knew what was going on. But he asked her for examination. Well, what's in your house? What can I do for you? Aren't you glad that God's always got his attention on your life? Aren't you glad there's no point in your life where God's not listening to your needs and he doesn't see the pain that's in your heart? He doesn't see the heartache that you're going through. And when you think no one else understands, aren't you glad he's a great high priest that's in touch with our infirmities? Oh, he's a great high priest. He's got his attention on you, and he's accessible. He's also, as a great mediator, he's the greatest advisor that we could have. Because not only could she get to the prophet, and she got his attention, but he was able to give her instructions on knowing what to do. And my friends, with our access and relationship with God, he tells us all the things that we could ever need right here in the Word of God. And you have access to the Word of God, and you can read it every day, at any moment, any time. And it can give you exactly what you need to do at those pivotal moments. Oh, he's a great, powerful mediator because he's our ultimate recourse. Number two in this mediator, he helped her see something. He helped her see her underestimated resource. He says, what's in your house? All I got is this oil. Now, in those days, oil could have been like the oil for burial, you know, and that would have been a very expensive thing. Or it could have been related to some cooking oil. Either way, it must have not have been of much value to pay off the debt. But God wanted her to get her eyes off the horizontal circumstances and get her eyes up vertically to the powerful God that was in her life. And in this resource that you have. Hey, listen, when you get saved, you know what you have living within you? You have God. He dwells within us. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Hey, he stamps his seal of approval by the Holy Spirit. He fills you, and he never goes away. You have God when you're saved. Isn't that a blessing to know? He's the ultimate recourse. He's the underestimated resource. Your faith. God says, live by faith. And we say, no, we got to live by finances. God says, live by faith. No, I got to have a political answer to all my problems. No, you live by faith. Hey, you underestimate your faith in God. Now, how big is he to you? Boy, I love the question that God gave to Moses when he was facing this issue with, you know, the people wanted meat and he didn't have any meat. He goes, is the Lord's arm waxed too short for you? Is there anything too hard for God? Yeah, how big is God in your life? Boy, he's a big God. Oh, he's a big God. The underestimated resource I want you to see in our powerful mediator that we have, he gives us unlimited reach. There's no limitations with God. Hey, a little grain of a mustard seed can move a whole mountain. It's all about faith. And God only needs a little bit of it to exercise, and he'll move the mountains in your life. You know, I heard it said before by another preacher friend of mine, he did this illustration. He said, sometimes people, they're like the individual that's been told that God can move mountains with a mustard seed of faith. And an individual that hears that will go out to the big mountain behind their backyard, and they'll say, well, God, move that mountain. And it doesn't move. And they say, well, that's what I thought. Well, they never believed it to begin with. They never believed. Hey, God can move the mountains. And he says, don't just go get some vessels. Get as many as you want. Hey, unlimited potential with the oil. Our God is a big God, and there's nothing that can stop him, friends. You think your problem is too big for God? Then you don't know your God. You don't know him. He's our powerful mediator. And he comes to us at just the pivotal moments that we face. See, he wants you to pour it out at pivotal moments. He wants you to understand the powerful mediator that he is in your life. And if you will, make the decision to pour out your oil. I want you to see what happens. You'll produce a miracle. You'll produce a miracle. He says, all right, get all the vessels that you can. I want you to go into your house and shut the doors. Most likely, he wanted them to spend some time praying. But then this was a private thing. This was for their family. They were to pray, and then they were to pour out this oil. So they gather the vessels. They shut the door. The sons bring the vessels, and then she starts to pour out. Do you see what I mean? If you want to see big things of God, you have to pour out. You got to let it out. Hey, you don't just keep taking in. Whatever you receive is meant to have an outlet. Otherwise, you get fat, right? Some of us are spiritually fat because we're fed so much, but you're to pour out your oil. So, if you want to see a miracle in your life, you need to expense the good thing that's in you. You got to expense it. You got to pour it out. I'm not talking about the junk in your life. All right, the world gets enough of your junk. Okay, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the good things, which is God and your faith. You got to expense that out to others. If you'll expense it out, then I want you to notice God will take that and extend it. So she grabs the vessel and they pray. And could you imagine what they're thinking? I don't know what's going on, but okay. They start pouring. Oh, we got enough. Oh, give me another one. They start pouring. Oh, give me another one. And they just go right down the line, and God just starts extending. Hey, if you trust God and you give out your faith, God can extend it out. All right? And then in the last verse, we see this. They get all the vessels. And by the way, this is the oil was stayed. You know what that means? That means God doesn't waste himself. He doesn't waste. He knows exactly what to do at just the right time for the very specific needs. In verse number 7, she comes and she tells the man of God. And he said, well, go. Sell the oil and pay the debt and live. Thou and thy children of the rest. So if you will expense your faith, God will extend it and then he'll expand it out. Just like the prayer of Jabez. Pour out your oil into other vessels. Hey, are you facing some critical times? You're going through a pivotal moment? You know what God wants you to do? Pour out your oil. Pour it out. Hey, summer staff, you know what you're to be doing this summer? You're not to be hoarding it in. You're to pour out your oil to all those vessels that come into the camp. 18 kids got saved. You know why? It's because you poured out your oil into them. Hey, some of you made donations or you helped get kids to camp. Hey, you were pouring out your oil into their lives. Recently, I spoke this message at a graduation, and I said, you know, there's an individual that I know that graduated into heaven, and his name is Steve Robinson. Steve Robinson was one unique guy, wasn't he? Everybody loves Steve, though. A man that could live off milk and cookies. What a diet. But it worked. It worked. Boy, Steve, when I first moved to the camp 7 years ago, I didn't really know a lot of the board members, but I knew Steve because Steve would just randomly show up at the camp and do things. He was in and out. I remember one day I came into the office and he was signing checks and he was just in and out. And I said, who's that guy? And the guy that used to work there, he goes, well, that's Steve Robinson. Oh, Steve. And that's Steve. Boom, 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 boom. In and out, in and out. Always calling, real random, you know. If you guys remember, see, he randomly show up at the camp, but he was always bringing stuff. You know, there were some moments, though, in the last 7 years that I didn't think the camp could really continue in the way it's set up. I mean, we went through what I would call pivotal moments. But I tell you, there was one man that kept pouring into that camp, and his name was Steve Robinson. He did. And we are where we are today, possibly because of what Steve did for us. Isn't that amazing to think about? One man. One man. And he made an impact in my life. He was a hero. You know, we need some people to fill that gap now for Steve. Someone needs to stand in the gap and be that guy. You know, when Steve got to heaven, I just wonder if when he got up to the gates of heaven, I can't know for sure, right? But I wonder if he got to the gates of heaven, instead of just meeting Peter, I wonder if all the campers that got saved of all those years of camp were there to greet him. To Robinson. If it wasn't for you, I would have never heard the gospel and got saved. Thank you for pouring your oil into that camp. That's a man. What we need to do, we need to pour our oil into other people, don't we? Amen. Lord, thank you so much for this time and for the good services. I pray, God, that we will be a people that will be ready at just those critical times that you are speaking to us in, to be ready to pour out the good stuff, which is our faith in a great big God. Thank you for being that accessible access into heaven. We couldn't have done it without the Lord Jesus. We couldn't have earned our way. We fall way short. We are deficient, but with you, all things are possible. Thank you for being a big God in our lives. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed,